Isma was going to miss her flight. The ticket wouldn't be refunded because the airline took no responsibility for passengers who arrived at the airport 3 hours ahead of the departure time and were escorted to an interrogation room. She had expected the interrogation, but not the hours of waiting that would precede it, nor that it would feel so humiliating to have the contents of her suitcase inspected. She'd made sure not to pack anything that would invite comment or questions. No Quran, no family pictures, no books on her area of academic interest. But even so, the officer took hold of every item of Isma's clothing and ran it between her thumb and fingers, not so much searching for hidden pockets as judging the quality of the material. Finally, she reached for the designer-labeled down jacket Isma had folded over a chair back when she entered and held it up, one hand pinching each shoulder.
"This isn't yours," she said.
And Isma was sure she didn't mean because it's at least a size too large, but rather, it's too nice for someone like you.
"I used to work at a dry cleaning shop. The woman who brought this in said she didn't want it when we couldn't get rid of the stain."
She pointed to the grease mark on the pocket.
"Does the manager know you took it?"
"I was the manager."
"You were the manager of a dry cleaning shop, and now you're on your way to a PhD program in sociology?"
"Yes."
"And how did that happen?"
"My siblings and I were orphaned just after I finished uni. They were 12 years old, twins. I took the first job I could find. Now they've grown up, I can go back to my life."
"You're going back to your life? In Amherst, Massachusetts?"
"I meant the academic life. My former tutor from LSE teaches in Amherst now, at the university there. Her name is Hira Shah. You can call her. I'll be staying with her when I arrive, until I find a place of my own."
"In Amherst?"
"No, I don't know. Sorry, do you mean her place? Or the place of my own? She lives in Northampton. That's close to Amherst. I'll look all around the area for whatever suits me best. So it might be Amherst, but it might not. There are some real estate listings on my phone, which you have."
She stopped herself. The official was doing that thing that she'd encountered before in security personnel, staying quiet when you answered their question in a straightforward manner, which made you think you had to say more. And the more you said, the more guilty you sounded.
The woman dropped the jacket into the jumble of clothes and shoes and told Isma to wait. That had been a while ago. The plane would be boarding now. Isma looked over at the suitcase. She'd repacked when the woman left the room and spent the time since worrying if doing that without permission constituted an offence. Should she empty the clothes out into a haphazard pile, or would that make things even worse? She stood up, unzipped the suitcase, and flipped it open so its contents were visible. A man entered the office, carrying Isma's passport, laptop, and phone. She allowed herself to hope, but he sat down, gestured for her to do the same, and placed a voice recorder between them.
"Do you consider yourself British?"
"I've lived here all my life."
She meant there was no other country of which she could feel herself a part, but the words came out sounding evasive. The interrogation continued for nearly 2 hours. He wanted to know her thoughts on Shias, homosexuals, the Queen, democracy, the Great British Bake Off, the invasion of Iraq, Israel, suicide bombers, dating websites. After that early slip regarding her Britishness, she settled into the manner that she'd practiced, with Annika playing the role of the interrogating officer, Isma responding to her sister as though she were a customer of dubious political opinions whose business Isma didn't want to lose by voicing strenuously opposing views, but to whom she didn't see the need to lie, either.
When people talk about the enmity between Shias and Sunni, it usually centres around some political imbalance of power, such as in Iraq or Syria. As a Brit, I don't distinguish between one Muslim and another. Occupying other people's territory generally causes more problems than it solves. This served for both Iraq and Israel. Killing civilians is sinful. That's equally true, whether the manner of killing is a suicide bombing or aerial bombardments or drone strikes. There were long intervals of silence between each answer and the next question as the man clicked keys on her laptop, examining her browser history.
He knew that she was interested in the marital status of an actor from a popular TV series, that wearing a hijab didn't stop her from buying expensive products to tame her frizzy hair, that she had searched for how to make small talk with Americans. "You know, you don't have to be so compliant about everything," Annika had said during the role-playing. Isma's sister, not quite 19, with her law student brain, who knew everything about her rights and nothing about the fragility of her place in the world. For instance, if they ask you about the Queen, just say, "As an Asian, I have to admire her colour palette." It's important to show at least a tiny bit of contempt for the whole process. Instead, Isma had responded, "I greatly admire Her Majesty's commitment to her role."